You know, 600 years before Jesus walked the hills of Galilee speaking parables of the kingdom, another wisdom teacher got a reputation for great storytelling. His name was Aesop, and he loved to tell these pithy little morality tales that would inspire people to live a different and better kind of life. One of his best known is the fable about the ant and the grasshopper. Simple enough to be understood by children, profound enough to be appreciated by adults, I offer you this shortened version. One summer day, a grasshopper was hopping around in a field, chirping and singing to its heart's content. He saw an ant struggling along, carrying a single kernel of corn on his back. And the grasshopper said, "Brother ant, put down your load. Come sit with me and sing with me for a while." But the ant said, "Can't, can't. I am laying up food for a long, cold winter." And off he went, while the grasshopper went back to his singing. But that winter, grasshopper was singing a different tune as he was shivering in the cold and just about to starve to death, while that ant was snug and warm in the anthill with plenty of food laid up for a long winter. The moral of this fable is simply this: it is wise to worry about tomorrow today. That makes sense, doesn't it? It made sense then. It makes sense now. In fact, it has become part of our conventional wisdom. We all do this. We all store up something for the hard days ahead. Many of you have retirement accounts of some kind into which you put something from time to time, knowing that eventually you may need that money to live on. It just makes sense. And it must have made sense to those people Jesus was talking to on that hillside that day as he delivered the Sermon on the Mount. They may have heard that same story from Aesop, passed down through those 600 years. But as Jesus looked on their faces, I believe he saw what 600 years of that kind of conventional wisdom can do to people. He saw what happens when you worry about tomorrow today. And so he said to them, contrary to the conventional wisdom of his time and our time, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Let today's trouble be enough for today. And we need to pay attention, because what Jesus says and what Aesop says contradict each other. We have to decide, will we listen to Jesus or will we listen to Aesop? While Aesop talks about ants and grasshoppers, Jesus talks about birds and lilies. He says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which one of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. Look how they grow. Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. Let me just tell you, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? It's the Gentiles who strive after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So strive for God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. I tell you again, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. But when you hear that word, do you hear three times Jesus tells us not to worry? It is as clear a command as can be found in the Gospels. It's right up there with go make disciples of every nation or do this in remembrance of me. And yet we ignore these words as if Jesus never said them. I think there are two reasons for that. One is, deep down, we believe Aesop was right, that it is wise to worry about tomorrow, today. We believe that a little bit of worry is good for you. That student who has a math test tomorrow and is worried about it may actually study for it today. That's a good thing, right? That athlete who is about to get cut from the team may practice a little harder, work a little harder, and get to keep his place. That couple who worries that they may lose their home may get up early and go to work and spend a little less and save a little more. Some worry is good for us, but too much worry is bad for us. And you know this. Worry can shake you awake in the middle of the night. It can leave you lying there in a cold sweat, unable to go back to sleep. It can alter your eating habits, change your relationship patterns. Your job performance can be affected. You tend to overeat or indulge in things that are not good for you, take up harmful habits. When you're too stressed and worried about your life, you can't function in the way that you want to function. Jesus says, do not worry. Don't worry about your life. But we do, and this is the second reason, because we can't help it. Just try it sometime. Try not worrying about the things that worry you most. It doesn't work. And we might say in our defense, we have plenty to worry about. Some of you in this room have lost your jobs recently, and your search for employment has become desperate at this stage. Some of you right now are wondering how you will pay next month's bills or last month's bills. You wonder how long it will be before you're bankrupt. Some of you, like Steve, have really had to worry about whether or not you can keep your home. That's a true concern. It keeps you awake at night. When Jesus says, do not worry about your life, we almost want to ask, Jesus, have you never lived in the real world? Do you not know what it's like? If you don't pay your mortgage, the bank will throw you right out of your house. You will end up on the street. And when you do, you better believe you will worry about your life, what you will eat and drink, and about your body, what you will wear. If it happens to you and you find yourself standing on a street corner holding a cardboard sign asking for help because you don't know what else to do, and some well-meaning Christian pulls up in a big fancy car and rolls down her window and says, hey, don't worry, look at the birds of the air, consider the lilies of the field. You will probably want to take that chrome fish decal off the back of her car and stick it in her ear. No telling. These worries are real. They affect us here and now. But I think they affected those people then and there, the ones Jesus was speaking to. Some of those people in that crowd really did wonder where their next meal was going to come from, where they were going to sleep that night. They had serious concerns, and Jesus could tell when he looked at them, could see their faces twisted up in expressions of worry. And so he says to these people, I'm telling you, don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you'll eat and drink. Don't worry about what you will wear. Your heavenly Father will take care of you. Jesus is providing pastoral care for these people in the same way I would want to provide it. If you came to my study and told me that you had lost your job and that you were worried about how to pay your bills, if you said, I don't know if I'll have food on my table next week, I would want to say to you, listen, as long as you are a member of this family, you will not go hungry. That's what I would want to say, and I would hope that it was true. Jesus is saying the same thing. Listen, people of God, As long as you are part of His family, you will never go hungry. Believe me. I believe that Jesus is offering pastoral care because of something He says at the beginning of this passage. Listen to this in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Notice that Jesus doesn't say you shouldn't serve God and wealth. You cannot. You cannot serve God and wealth. You have to make up your mind. Therefore, he says in the very next verse, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. As if these two things were connected somehow. You cannot serve God and money. Do not worry about your life. Is there a connection between those two things? I think that there is. When we worry about our life, what we will eat and drink, when we worry about our body, what we will wear, we begin to think that if we had just a little more money, all our worries would evaporate. Jesus is talking about material things here, about food and drink and clothing, and it's true that if you have enough money, you can buy those things, right? You can put a roof over your head, you can fill your closet with clothes, you can fill your freezer with food. A little money will take care of all those things, but there are so many things it will not take care of. When your wife dies, when your children won't talk to you anymore, when the doctor tells you that you have cancer, money is cold comfort. It's not a bad God as far as false gods go, but it is a small God. And it cannot provide for the kinds of needs we have deep down inside. Needs for love and acceptance and security. Need for meaning and purpose in this world. Money can't give it to us. Only God can give it. And Jesus knows it. And so he says from the beginning, because you can't serve God and money, choose God. And do not worry about your life, because that kind of worry will lead you to strive after things. And things can provide some sort of comfort, but it is small comfort in the end. They can't give you life. And he says it this way, is not life more than food? Well, yes. Yes, it is. Some people eat to live. Others live to eat. We know which one we would rather be. Life is more than food. And when Jesus says it, our mouths begin to water, not for food, but for life, the kind of life that He offers. When I was in Israel years ago, I stood on the place where Jesus spoke these words. And I was looking at the beautiful countryside all around, looking out over the Sea of Galilee. I was hearing somebody read from this part of Matthew's gospel, and I don't think I have ever felt more alive in all my life. But just off to my right was a woman in my tour group who was digging through her purse. And while this person was reading scripture, she was digging through her purse, and she kept digging and digging. It got louder and louder, and she began to mumble, I know it's in here somewhere. It's got to be in here somewhere. She was looking for her lunch ticket. See, the price of the tour didn't include lunch, but the tour guide told her at the beginning, if you want to pay a little more, you can get a lunch ticket for every day. She bought one for every day, and every day she lost her ticket. Every day she kept looking around inside her purse, digging, digging, looking, hunting, searching. Where is it? It's in here somewhere. We would be in the most spectacular, most meaningful places in Israel. This woman would be digging through her purse. My lunch ticket. I know it's in there somewhere. She was missing it, missing the whole trip, because she couldn't take her mind off lunch. If Jesus had been there that day, I think he would have said, what are you doing? I'm trying to preach. And she would have said, well, I'm looking for my lunch ticket. And he would have said, is life not more than food? Is it not? Of course it is. He would have said, lift up your eyes unto the hills and look around you. I mean, this is what life is about. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. I mean, they work plenty. They're up at dawn. They eat till dusk. But it's your heavenly Father who's feeding them. They don't worry about these things. Consider the lilies of the field. Yes, they drive their roots down deep into nutrient-rich soil. They lift their leaves toward the warming sun, but they don't worry about these things. I'm telling you, you don't have to worry either. You can work hard all day. Work never killed anybody, but worry has. I'm telling you that your heavenly Father loves you, that He has your best interest at heart, that He wants to provide for you, and you don't have to worry about these things. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. It's the Gentiles who strive after all these things. You strive for God's kingdom. Strive for His righteousness. Strive to put yourself at the center of what He is doing. All these other things will be given to you as well. Listen, tomorrow can take care of tomorrow. Don't worry about that. Today's trouble is enough for today. When you put your feet under the Father's table, you don't have to worry about a thing. When I was growing up, my dad used to get us up in the summertime, early in the morning. My mother would be downstairs cooking a big breakfast. Scrambled eggs and toast and bacon and grits and every other good thing she could come up with. She wanted us to have our strength for the day because she knew we were going to need it. All through the summer, every weekday was a work day. And my dad would sit there at the dining room table and hand out the work assignments. Ed, Scott, I want you to clear off the brush on that hillside down below the garden. It's probably going to take all day, but I know you're up for it. You do that, Jim. I want you to hoe the corn, the beans, the potatoes. If you get through with that, hoe something else. It may take all day, but I know you can do it. Greg and Gray, I need you to muck out the cow stalls and the horse stalls and gather the eggs and slop the hogs. Do all those things I need you to do. It's going to be a full day. And it usually was. We would work at those chores through the heat of the day, maybe escaping late in the afternoon to run down to the river for a quick swim. But when we sat down at that same table that night, often, my dad would point to the food that was there on the table and say, look at this. Look at this. All of this has come from our little farm. The fried chicken, the green beans, the mashed potatoes, all of it has come off this little farm. And then we would join hands around the table and bow our heads, and my father would thank the God who had given us what we had there. Food to eat, life to share. We were poor in those days. We didn't have much of anything, but we always seemed to have everything we needed. Sitting at that table, holding onto those hands, hearing my father thank God for what we had, I felt a sense of peace and security that money cannot buy. I knew that as long as my feet were under that table, I would be cared for. This is all Jesus wants us to know. He wants us to know that as long as our feet are under His Father's table, all of our needs will be met. We will be cared for. We can trust a God like that, and because we can, we don't have to worry about all of these things. We can let that worry go. We can hold out our hands to receive from God every good thing He wants to give. Deep down inside us, we are all of us searching for security, for that sense of peace a mother feels when her child is asleep on her breast. All of us want the sense of security that child has while he's sleeping there. God wants to give it to you, Jesus says. God wants you to know that kind of peace. So do not worry. Open your hands. receive what the Father wants to give. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we do worry about so much, and we have worried for so long that we have gotten really good at it. It's going to be hard for us to break those old habits. Lord, help us to put our feet under your Father's table and to take your hand and to trust you with our lives, to know that as long as we are in your presence, as long as your Heavenly Father is caring for us, there is no need we have that will not be met. We pray that you would give us that kind of faith, and we ask it in your name. Amen.